tremendous blessing. So David's going to come and share with us in just a moment, but the pretty one, the good looking one of the relationship is going to come and share first. Anyway, let's give Chris a welcome.
I'm Chris, for those of you who don't know me. You know, sometimes instead of giving a prophetic word, you can actually just hear what God is saying prophetically through the morning. And it's interesting the way God amazingly fits everything together. And I just wondered if I could just share with you what I feel God is saying to the church here through what we've been doing. And what I've heard, let's put it that way. And this is what I'm hearing. When I came in, I think I felt very aware of a lot of people's pain and a lot of people's tiredness. And I think a lot of you have got some stories of battles and things that you've been going through. And some of you are through them, and you can talk about the goodness of God in them, and you can testify to the goodness of God. But others of you are going through pain, and you are going through difficult times. And I just feel that. I have a sense of that, that there are many people here who are struggling and with different things. And I just felt that the hymn that we sang, the Charles Wesley one, about, you know, what God has done, what Jesus did on the cross, and that we will stand, and that we are forgiven, and we are redeemed, was like a declaration that this church is making. That is the gospel. That is the kingdom of God. And that is where we stand. That's where we stand. And, you know, there's like a choice in that, isn't there? That we can't deny what we're going through. We can't deny our feelings, and we shouldn't. But at the same time, we know there is something greater, and that one day that we will come through these things, and there will be greater testimonies that are very, very powerful when we've had the dealings of God in our lives. And so that was the first thing that I felt, and that lovely, strong declaration. This will be a church that will not give up its ground, the ground of the gospel and what God has done. And there was that determination. And what was it? What would you pick out that word? Defiance. Like a holy defiance that we will not be brought down by the enemy. A holy defiance that we will not be brought down by the enemy. It's like a battle cry in your hearts. And those of you who may need to pick that up, pick it up. I would encourage you, pick it up. I will not be brought down because I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
And then we had the hot air balloon, and Ian saw it floating. And all I could see was that it wanted to float. It wanted to fly because it was built to fly. But there were ropes tying it down. And I do feel that through this battling thing, that there are ropes that are going to be cut. I feel God wants to cut ropes in your life. Things that are dragging you down, sin, things that you've done, things that are illnesses, bereavement, all sort of health issues, all these things will want to tie you down from being where you are meant to be and where you're created to be. And that is in a heavenly place. That is free in God. And I just feel that there are some battles that need to go on there. And they're not major things because God has overcome. Jesus overcame on the cross. And the victory is already there for us to step into. But sometimes we have to make that effort to step into it. And for some of you, it will mean going away and doing business with God. And doing that. And it may be this week that some of you have to go to the quiet place and do warfare in a new way. And that's your choice. But go and do warfare and come through. And it may be that you need someone with you. Or it may be that you can do that on your own. You will know. But do it. Do warfare this week. Do not allow that hot air balloon that is designed to fly to be tied down. And let's see how different it feels in here next Sunday. It will be different because there will be so much freedom that will be in you as a people. And the last thing, it's a bit of a funny thing really, that I do feel that as you come through that and as you come through the warfare of that individually and perhaps with somebody helping you through it, I don't know if one of the beauties of having grandchildren is you can go and see the films you like. As long as you've got a child, you feel okay about it, but you'd feel very stupid going in on your own. And we have arranged to take our children to the Paddington film next week. And I've just seen a little clip of it. I don't know if you've seen the clip, but look it up online. Just look at the clip. And you have got the family sitting in a dining room, and suddenly Paddington, I think, has been in the bathroom and the waters have been flooding over the bath. And suddenly in the dining room, this door is flung open by this huge rush of water that comes through. And there's Paddington floating on this water and coming into the dining room. It's causing total chaos. And that picture came to me just at the end of this morning. And I believe that there is a door that God wants to open in this church. Behind it, the force of the Holy Spirit is so great that it will come and cause chaos. It will come orderly chaos, because God's a God of order. But like, things are going to happen, that there's going to be a fresh outpouring of the Spirit, that he's going to come in power in a new way. And I know that's in your hearts to do that. And it's ready, that you're ready. But there is this process, I believe, of going through warfare, of coming through to a place, and as you do that, that the Holy Spirit is going to come with a fresh visitation into the church and release things that are yet to be released. And that hot air balloon is going to fly in a new way. So that's why, can I just pray for you? I would love to pray with anybody afterwards, if anybody particularly responds to anything that is shared this morning. And Dave and I will be here at the end, but so will the others, if you want to pray and do that through with us. So Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would have your way in this church. Well, thank you that you have said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank you that there is nothing that you cannot overcome, Lord. There's nothing we cannot overcome, because we have the powerful name of Jesus, that he is the victor. And Lord, as we are aware of things in our own lives that we need to release to you, we need you to deal with, we need you to set us free, we want to go into the next stage. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that even over these next days, you would set people free who need to be set free. That you would heal where there needs to be healing. You would deliver where there needs to be deliverance. And Father, we pray that there will be a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit that comes to these wonderful people who have proved you and have walked with you. And the new ones, Lord, are coming in, and the young and the old. Lord, that you would outpour your Holy Spirit from heaven, that you would open up a door, and that through that door there would be a fresh outpouring, there would be a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to come, that will be powerful in this place, that they will go out from this place and they will see the kingdom of God extended because of what you are doing in their lives. Lord, we pray for more. We pray for more in this church, and we pray for a more effectiveness outside the church. Father, glorify your name, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Let's just stand a minute. Father, we need another day of Pentecost. Father, we know with Jesus that nothing is impossible, and many of us are facing nothing at the moment. Would you come? As you promised, you come. As we used to sing, Father, in the early days, just as you promised, you came. And you did. You changed things. You changed our lousy lives. You changed our direction. You changed our marriages. You changed the way we parented. The change that came in our workplaces. We stopped stealing. We stopped lying. We stopped cheating. We stopped swearing. But more than stopping things, we started things. Father, this whole move of God that came across this region started something significant. And the pain and the disappointment and the obstacles have never been able to stop it, and they never will. But Lord, we know we can't proceed without more of your Spirit. And so we call out for that today. Call out for it in my own life, Lord. I just say I don't want to preach to others and be disqualified myself. Father, the demons, the powers, the principalities, the enemy's ragings that we hear and we see and we have to keep walking through. Give us the courage and the faith and the presence of God to be able to be overcomers, not just sing about being overcomers. Father, that we may see a transformation in our own lives and may actually bring Jesus into the lives of others. We want to thank you for Jesus. What an incredible Savior. More importantly, what an incredible Lord. So we want to do what you say. So what you've been saying to us this morning, we want to commit ourselves to do.
Yes, Father.
I hate to stand and watch a hot air balloon on the ground. I want to see it in the air. Yes. Now, Father, help us to see it in the air. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There was a time I was going through Cirencester Park and things were really bad. In the church that I was working with there, I mean, you couldn't have got much worse. The opposition was just horrendous. The relationships were scattered. And there was a guy in the park, and he had a hot air balloon. Would you believe it? I don't know if you've ever got up close to one or been in one. My parents were in one that actually crashed. And they survived, dragged through the streets of Calgary, but they survived it in Canada. But this hot air balloon, the guy said, I need help. And I was with a friend of mine, and we said, okay, we'll help you. What are we doing? He said, you wear these big gloves. Man, they were massive. Bigger than, I played lacrosse, they were even bigger than lacrosse gloves. I said, why do we wear these? He said, because this is going to get hot. And we stood there, and he said, open the envelope. And the envelope was quite narrow. It's quite shocking when you see the size of a balloon blown up, that the envelope was narrow. And we stood either side, and we put these gloves on, and then he lit the burner. And the hot air that went past us, it was like, whoo! And it singed the hair on my arms. I was glad I had hair on my arms, because otherwise it would have singed the flesh. It was really, when the Holy Spirit comes, it'll singe you. You'll be marked. And then he just took off. And as he took off, I turned to my friend and said, I wonder if it was like that when Jesus ascended. Because he just went vertical. And we're going like that, like the disciples must have been. Wow. Didn't expect that. And he just went, goodbye. And off he went. And we stood there, we burned arms. Now some of us need burnt arms. We're not close enough to the Holy Spirit. He needs to come and mark us. Okay, let's go to the Word of God. Excuse me, coughing and spluttering. I picked something up on a plane coming out of Africa and then it got consolidated. I did. It got consolidated on a plane coming out of Denmark last weekend. And I was sitting next to Chris and she didn't give it me, okay? Psalm 145. I'm going to go quick this morning. Les, do you want to type this up? Three words. When I was with you in January, Psalm 145. When I was with you in January, we shared a message that I felt God said re-emphasize it this morning. And I'll do it slightly differently. There are three words that we worked on. Legacy, transition, generations. So let's start with generations. Why don't we read this together? It doesn't matter what version you've got, unless you've got a German or a Latin Bible. Just say it quietly. Okay, we'll read out loud. We're going to read from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, let's go. I will extol you, O my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They will speak of the might of your awesome deeds and will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. One generation's job is to proclaim the good things of God to the next. And every generation has got to improve on what the last generation did. That's God's desire. The Apostle Paul put it like this in 2 Timothy 2. He said to Timothy, I want you to share with faithful people what I've shared with you. In other words, there's a transition. It has to move down the generations. 1974, and look, I'm not going to be nostalgic, okay? I want to be prophetic about where we're going. 1974, I met a strange guy who was totally different to me. I had long hair, strange clothes, and I met this guy in a three-piece suit. His name was Barney Coombs. And it absolutely changed my life. I was leading a small, fast-growing church with Chris and another couple and some young people, fully young people. And we were a generation that knew how to tell our generation about Jesus and the change that he made in our lives. But what we needed was a father, and we didn't have him. And I met Barney Coombs. Barney Coombs introduced me to someone who you know very well. He was called Cyril Coombs. And I met Cyril in 1975, and Jillian was small then, and so was Graham, because he talked about how you discipline your children. And I was thinking, wow, when Cyril gets home, those kids are going to get a different kind of discipline than they've had before. He's very excited. And it was exciting to be together with all the people that were gathered in that room from across the nation. And it was the early days, very early days, of the charismatic movement. You existed in Aldington. That's where you were in those days. No Hyde, no Folkestone, no New Romney, no Canterbury, no Ramsgate. Just a small group of faithful people, Margaret gives away, meeting with you in Aldington. And God joined our hearts together and over the years began to walk together in relationship. We did it in funny ways, like playing cricket against one another. And I need to say that very rarely did Graham's team win. But I got used to James and I got used to Phil and I got used to Tim Dyer and those guys, and even Deirdre played with Warhead as Basingstoke went to battle with Defiant Kent at cricket. But God began to join our hearts together, and then I began to get involved with Johnny Dyer, and I was asked to come and help with the churches here and to pastor him when he was leading here and to work with the church. And we've watched the development over the years, and you've gone through many changes, is that right? How many of you were there at the beginning? Let me see your hands. Man, survivors! I remember coming to the very early stage of Folkestone, the very early stage of Hythe, and it was so good to be in each place. And do you know what? I was thinking this morning, how many schools must we have blessed with the presence of God over those years? How many? Shout some of the names out. Brookhill. Very good.
Christchurch.
Okay. What was that junior school in Folkestone? Was that the one you said?
Christchurch,
yeah. That was an amazing one. Couldn't park very well there, but I mean, it's an amazing place. The places that you've been, where you brought the presence of God into this community. You've been a generation that's praised God. I don't know how much praise there is in these schools if you guys were working in them. Something special that you deposit. And we've watched the change over the years. We've watched how you've worked with the legacy that God has given you. Now, legacy, if you want a definition, I'll read it from here. Legacy is what we pass on to the people who follow us. How many of you think you're about to receive a legacy? How many of you are desperate right this moment for your parents to die so you could receive a legacy? Now, I never wanted my parents to die. I used to say to them, I want you to live forever, so I don't need your inheritance. I need you. But sooner or later, you receive an inheritance. And it always makes a difference. But an inheritance is not what I'm talking about. It's a legacy. I don't want my dad's money. I didn't need my dad's money. But when he died 2 years ago, what I carried was what he had sowed into me. Of service, of care for others, of living a life that you would lay down your life on behalf of others for the sake of Jesus coming into their lives. That's the legacy that I carried. That's the legacy I wanted. And to be able to pray for him and say, do you know what, Dad? You can go home now and be with Jesus. That's all right. You can't see anymore. You can't walk anymore. You can't remember anymore. But I tell you what, you're going to get a new body. Next time I see you, you'll be looking about 33 years of age. And we'll be allowed to kick around again like we couldn't for the last 10 years. I'm praying into the presence of God. Not looking for his money. but wanting to know that I'd got his blessing so that I could carry on what he'd intended to start. Legacy. It's what you receive from others and what you always improve. It's precious. God has given you a legacy in this church, and it passes from generation to generation. And right now, for me, as I'm getting older, you know, I'm coming to the sunset years of my life, and I don't know how long I've got. All I know is this: what God has given to me, I must pass on to others. I'm an idiot if I die with what God has deposited and never give it to other people. I'm more interested in my kids, not having my house, not having whatever finances left when we go. I'm interested in my kids carrying what Jesus has given to me. And in this church, every generation has to fulfill the purpose of God. Every generation. And you've been very fortunate in this church. The legacy that you've given is quite incredible. We've spent the last 2.5 days going through with your main leadership team. We've seen you've got a great financial team. We've seen they're willing to pick up tasks. How many of you know being on the financial team is not funny? It's serious. Because you get to see what most of you in the church never see, the faith level you have to move in to believe God for the things he calls you to do. There's a great financial team. The trustees have done an excellent job down the years. The faithfulness of the trustees in this church has been incredible. But the day comes when the hat must pass on. And we don't live in civil service where you wait for someone to get to 65 or 66 or 67 before they quit. God is constantly moving things and changing things, calling new people up into place and releasing people like me who've done things for many years into other places, into other situations. That's the nature of God. It's not a down escalator with God, it's an up escalator. All the way up until you get to the point where he says, you've done enough, I'll take you home. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so you come to the second stage, which is transition. And transition is really difficult. How many of you like change? You like change like toothache. I know. How many of you don't like it when your wife says, we need to decorate that bedroom? And if you're a guy, you think, that means I need to decorate that bedroom. And you think, that's change. How many of you enjoyed it when your kids left home? How many of you really liked it when your boss moved because you hated them, then you found that he'd got a cousin called Adolf as well? We don't like change. We react to change. And yet God is constantly a God of change because God is light and light moves. And if you don't move with God, you're left in the darkness. So you have to change. I would imagine the disciples were not too best pleased when Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. That was that, and now you're thinking, is Dave going away? Is Graham going away? Is Vincent going away? Yes, we are. One day, we'll be in heaven. So you guys have got to carry the whole thing on. Suddenly, the burden of responsibility starts to shift. That's called body ministry, which thankfully we heard this morning. There's so many people shared this morning. It was so good to hear you pray. How many of you heard the praying women? So what were the men doing? Come on, guys, we can pray too. We can pray too. Thank God for praying women. Now you've got quiet. None of the men are saying amen. It's just the women. Oh no, Ian May said amen. Thank you for coming in today. I really appreciate it. So transition is a really, really tricky time. And the problem with transition is we want to know what it really looks like at the other end. Because we like to be in control. We talk about following Jesus, but really most of us get Jesus to follow us. Or try to. But that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus saying, I'm over here, come on. It's more fun here. Whereas we say, no, I want you over here. I would like you to do this for me, and I'd like you to do that for me. I actually don't pray like most people. I don't have a prayer list. I simply listen. And then I try and do what I'm told. That's the way I pray. I don't pray too much about my needs because he knows my needs. I tend to focus on seeking first the king and the kingdom. Following after him, then the needs get met on the way. I find when I focus on my needs, I get anxious. How about you? Anybody else like that? When you focus on Him, I get direction. As I get direction, these things seem to get sorted. Maybe we need to learn to focus more on Jesus. So in a transition, you have to focus on Jesus. And Julie, it's not always easy to transition, is it? So why don't you share your picture that you gave me last night, which I thought was excellent.
Dave was talking about scaffolding last night, and I had this picture of scaffolding. And this wasn't scaffolding on a new building, because we've got quite a few new buildings going up around Hyde, and you can actually see it going up. It's bare, and you might not know exactly what the end will be, but it's going up. But I had a picture of scaffolding round an old building that's being changed, and quite often nowadays, you see, with an old building, a scaffolding goes up, but then they cover it up, and you can't see what's behind it. You know something's changing inside, but you can't see from the outside what's going on. You've got to wait until it's finished before they take the scaffolding down, and then you can actually see what's been going on behind the covering.
Now, I was so glad that Julie brought that word, because, you see, Vincent wants to know what's underneath the covering. And Vincent will say to me, well, Dave, what does it look like? How many of you like that? You really want to know what it's going to look like. Well, I can tell you, I have no idea. All I know is when God says it's going to change, I then get ready for the surprise. And I used to hate surprises as a kid. My parents would say to me, stop trying to find out what we're doing. It's a surprise. Any of you like that? Now, I love surprises, although Chris doesn't think so.
I don't.
No, because I look at the Christmas presents under the tree and I discern what's in each one of them. I use the gift of discernment. That is a pair of socks. Yuck. That is a pair of slippers. Blow. That is... Anyway. But actually, I don't know. Because actually, He's building this church. Our job is to listen to what He says and line up behind it. So there's a transition going on. How many of you know that Graham is not getting any younger? Stand up, Graham, just do a pirouette and you'll see. You hear that sound? Yeah, it's true. When we get up in the morning, Graham and I, we hear a cracking sound. We thought it was the bed. We now realise it's us. Things are changing. Things are changing. Vincent, we won't even go there. But Vincent and I share a birthday in the same year and the same month. Things are changing, so you must prepare for the future while you're still here. And the English are the most crazy people I know. I love being with the Africans when someone dies, because they're prepared. They mourn, they make lots of sound, they all gather together, they eat together, they encourage one another. The English don't make any preparation. When it happens, we fall to pieces. We have no culture to handle change, especially ultimate change. And in the church, we're often just as bad. But God has been preparing you. And the last time we were here in this building, we laid hands on James and Fiona, and we laid hands on Phil and Hannah. And I want to tell you something. They've done a good job. We've had a lot of time with them. We've listened to them. We're hearing what they have to say. We're watching the Spirit of God working in their lives. We're watching the confidence that the older leaders, the fathers and the mothers in the church have in them. And they're doing a good job. Is that right? But so these guys do a good job. I mean, they have poured themselves out for years. How many of you know Graham has been retreaded several times? Okay. How many of you know that when you do the kind of thing they're doing, they pay a heavy price in their families, in their physical capacities, their emotional capacities? Vincent is the kind of person who will not let anything drop to the ground. If he sees it going down, he feels an explosion, he'll move in and he'll catch it, even at his own cost. They have worked, and they have worked, and they have worked. And it's time for a bigger team, it's time for a wider team, it's time for a new team. Our problem is going to be, will you receive them? Will you follow them? Will you encourage them? Will you help them into place? Will you work alongside them? Will you help them take the legacy through their generation into the next generation? Or will you be an anchor of it? Or a critic of it? Or a spectator of it? rather than a participator and a player in this family of what God wants to do next. And when you go through transition, you make mistakes. Have we ever made mistakes, Chris? I'm a master of mistakes because I think big picture all the time, and so I will miss small details. That's why we work in a team. And other people come behind me and sweep up where I've made mistakes. Have I ever announced something too soon without consulting everybody? Yes. Will I do it again? Probably. Will I do it on purpose? No. There will be times in the transition you'll think, well, nobody told me that. Turn to someone next to you and say, I will never think that. I heard little rumours that, you know, when it was announced about James taking over and beginning to lead the team with Fiona and with Philip, and it was like, well, no one told us, no one asked us. Well, look, we made a mistake there. But as things improve and as things change and as a new team begins to emerge, we'll draw you into it. We want you to pray for us. We want you to stand with us. We want you to hear from God for us. We don't want you to stand against us. Okay? Okay? Okay, church? I have one amen. Generations. When you get to our age, people keep saying the same thing to me. How do you get on an airplane and go from nation to nation like you do? I said, well, it's called grace. It's nothing to do with age, it's to do with grace. But there are days that you get tired. Any of you ever get tired in here? Have you felt like the battle in your family is when all those spots came out? What a picture on Facebook. Yeah. And you think, oh my God, I don't know if I can take much more of this. And I felt there was a day he got to that point. And then I saw the encouraging reports that people were sending in and the prayer that went on for you. And I was in another nation that got the prayer. Praying for it. I started praying. I was in Africa. I started praying. I'm in Denmark. Okay? I'll be in Germany for Thursday. I'll be praying. Because I want to see him back. It's a battle. It's been how many years now?
14
years. Just stand up and give us a pirouette. Look at the condition she's in after 14 years of battle. That is amazing. We were in Fiona's house the other day. The grace on her. Was that you that started that song this morning? That's the second time I've heard someone do that in a month. That's not been heard of for years. We used to sing from the body and people would join in. I was so thrilled to hear that, the grace that's there. But I can tell you, you run out of grace sometimes. And it's God that's behind it. And you run out of it because he's preparing you for the next day and the next grace that he's going to bring you into. I ran out of grace for leading Basingstoke. I did it for 14 years. And one day, the grace wasn't there. And I knew, because I made a fast decision. It was a right decision. We didn't pray about it. It worked. But I knew that that didn't come from God. It came from me. And at that point, I said to the guys, I can't leave this now. I've got to move into the next stage, which is to serve you and other churches like you. And I can't just do the basic stuff. And there will be some changes. These two will still be fathers in the house. Their wives will still be mothers in the house. But we have to help this church and the next generation come through, and the other four churches in this region, and to help them come through. And they'll be doing more of that. So there'll be new things coming, and they'll announce it at the right time to you and announce who's going to be part of it. Please start to pray. And when you're praying and fasting, don't just pray about the finances, because you don't need to really pray about the finances. You just need to tithe and give to God what's due to God. It doesn't need a lot of prayer, it just needs a lot of obedience. Sometimes we substitute prayer for obedience. And we mustn't do that. We must be faithful to God in our giving. That's a freebie. Okay. So I wouldn't be praying much about the finances. I'd just be giving. What I'd be doing is praying about the new leadership team. I'm praying for your new leaders. I'm praying for people to come to Jesus in the town. I'm praying that people's lives will be changed. But that's... The trustees may differ on that one, though. Okay, we're nearly there. It's 12 o'clock. When it comes to generations, I want to be able to look back. I want to hear leaders say, and I heard this from Phil Norris when I handed on to him in basic stuff. And you've got to understand, when we handed on there, it was chaos. You couldn't see behind the scaffold. We lost the senior pastor to death. Just a few years previously, we lost one of our key leaders today, the vice principal of our school, and one of our community leaders. And so we were coming from a time of tremendous chaos, and the Spirit of God came right in the midst of all that. But I heard these young guys say this: our job in the next 20 years is to improve on what Dave and the team have done in the last 20 years. And when I heard that, I thought, they'll make mistakes, but I could live with that. Could you live with their mistakes?
Yes.
You've lived with ours and you've been gracious to us. Please be gracious to them. Don't mark their car. Oh, I give them a 4 out of 10 for this. This isn't come dancing or strictly come dancing. It's not, okay. This is elders, leaders, ministries trying to serve you, trying to serve the purpose of God in their generation. Be helpful to them, as you want people to be helpful to you. Generations. I wish I could say this to you. I haven't got time. Greg, can I have 2 minutes or 3 minutes? Is that okay? I struggle with the whole thing of the Joshua generation. I don't think Joshua fulfilled what God intended. I think Joshua did a great job taking Jericho. But Joshua made a statement. It went something like this: as for me and my house, we will
serve the Lord.
And he never fulfilled it. He screwed up Ai. That was a very bad battle because he didn't listen to God. His family didn't come through and follow him through. And in fact, within 15 years of Joshua having done such amazing things as a leader, Israel was in total apostasy. You can read it in the book of Judges. They were worshipping Baal. His kids weren't serving God. He was not on the scene. But the great thing was, Joshua had a sidekick who was one of the 12 spies who went into the land with him and brought a good report. His name was?
Caleb.
I would prefer you to be Joshua's in this transition. No. I prefer you to be Caleb's. Caleb was a very different man. You can read the story of Caleb in Numbers 13, particularly verse 16. He was the man who said, yeah, you say there are giants in the land, but if we go up, God will be with us and we'll take that land. He was a warrior. He was defiant. And Caleb had a daughter. She was called Achash. Strange name. But you can read about that in the book of Judges. I think it's... No, in the book of Joshua. It's about chapter 14. Read the story. It's an amazing story. Caleb, in his old age, he goes to Joshua. As Joshua's portioning out the land and giving them their legacy. And he said, I want Hebron. Hebron was very high. You had to climb high to get to Hebron. David had found that out. He went from Ziklag to Hebron to Jerusalem. If you can get to Hebron, you can get anywhere. It's difficult to get to Hebron. And he asked for the hill country. And he was an old man. I'd like to see some old men in this church who asked for the hill country. I'm so pleased to hear your testimony, John. That was just powerful. And he took it. But he had a daughter. And there was a city in the midst of this country that was difficult to get into. It's a difficult word to say, so I won't say it, but he renamed it Debir, which was easier. And he said this, he said, I need that city, but it's full of those giants, and I've cleared all these giants out of the land that we once saw, Joshua and I. Joshua, who didn't go through on what God had told him to do. But Caleb said, I'm going to take that city. And if anyone takes that city, I'll give them my daughter in marriage. There was a guy called Othniel. And Othniel took the city. Because he took the city, he took the daughter. And he got the legacy. Because this girl carried something that her father carried. Because when she got the guy, she's riding the donkey. I like this bit. Can you imagine a woman riding the donkey? There was a donkey down at the seafront yesterday. But I mean, I'm thinking, I could have a little go on that and see what it's like. She got down off a donkey. And she said to her new husband, she said, tell him, we want land. And tell him we want the upper springs. And we want the lower springs. Because she knew that land needed to be watered. So she got her legacy. She got a new generation going into the land. And Othniel, when you read the book of Judges, was... What? the first judge of Israel. And because of what Joshua failed to do, those 15 years after he died, the whole nation was in disarray. And into the midst of it comes the husband of a wife who was a daughter of Canaan. And all the chaos stopped, and he says, Othniel ruled in the ways of the Lord, and there was peace in the land for 40 years. Your leaders are wiser than Joshua. They plan for succession. Our prayer is you'll support what God has shown them to do. That as we make the transition, you won't just be praying from a distance, but you'll be saying, I'm volunteering. Like, you get off your donkey and you say, I want a piece of this land. You show me what I can take. You show me how I can take tithe. It's been great that you had a meeting this week there. But don't plant a meeting in tithe. Plant a community that transforms a community. Ask for the upper springs and the lower springs. Bring the mountain down in height so that people can walk on it and find a way of righteousness in everyday life, not just on a Sunday morning meeting. And the other regions around here just the same. So that's what I'm carrying for you. I'll be praying for you. I'll be coming in and out still. They've not sacked me yet. And until Jesus takes me home or he says something otherwise, I shall try to serve the purpose of God in this next generation, like I've served them in the last two or three generations. Is that okay? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, are you up and ready for a bit of new scaffolding coming up? And something starting to come that you can't quite put your fingers on until he's finished the job. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
You're laughing at me. You say, Dave, don't have any hidden surprises. All I can promise is, it'll be better than what went before. Because God's promise is the latter glory of his house will always be greater than the former. Amen? If you feel, no music, if you feel you can support a new generation through a transition to actually lead this church fruitfully, faithfully, and mercifully, then I'd like you to stand. And then I'd like Phil and Hannah. Is Hannah really in? No, she's really present. Phil, if you can't. James and Fiona, if you just can't. And I'd like you to pray over the church, right? Because these guys have been tasked with something new. These guys are not dying and running away. They're still going to be involved and working with them. But there's a change that's coming. And I'd just like to pray over you. Would that be okay? John said, sentence prayer, so here you go.
My sentence prayer, Father, is that you would unite us. Lord, each and every one of us, Lord, we are all wanting to serve your purposes, serve your kingdom. Lord, we ask you to draw us together in every possible way that there is no gap where the enemy can get in.
Yes.
Lord, we love you and we want to love you more and serve you more in every way. Amen.
Amen.
I was struck by that song this morning, that line, Rise up, church, with broken wings. And it's by your grace, Lord. So we ask your grace to come afresh. With this next period, would you be gracious unto us, Lord? Would you show us, direct us, give us wisdom? And church, would you rise up? Rise up in a new way, with new wings, fixed wings, shining wings. In Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people, and we pray for a new release of your Holy Spirit on the church, that the wind of the Spirit would come. Breathe on us, God. And something I've been praying for the last year, because he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine.
Yes.
He is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And Lord, I just pray that blank canvas almost almost that you've given us, that we could imagine so much of your heart for the communities around us, so much of your heart being displayed, the demonstration of your power, your spirit, yes, the good news of the gospel into the communities around us. Be on your people, Lord, as they rub shoulders with people around. Be on your people as they demonstrate your compassion, the compassion of Jesus, to their communities, Lord.
Father, help us. Father, I want to say for Chris and I that as in days past we want to serve the purposes of God in this generation, in this church, and in any way that we can do that, Father, that will help the progress of your desire and your heart, then we commit ourselves to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, touch your people. Father, I pray that their word will be blessed, the homes will be blessed. Pray, Father, that children would be blessed. Pray, Father, that their purses and wallets would be empty, be food on the table and a roof over their heads. But I pray more than anything, Father, they would enjoy loving, doing the will of God in Christ Jesus. That in all the difficulties and all the demands of life, that they would know the love of their Saviour and their Lord Jesus deep within their families, deep within their hearts. But that together, Father, we would help one another into the purposes of God. Father, I pray that no one would feel outside of what you're doing. And I ask you, Father, to pour out abundance upon this church, yes, that it may give it out and give it out as he's done for so many years. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you're good at doing this or even if you're dead at doing this, but turn around and just give someone a hug. Just appreciate them. Because we are a body, and it's a bit difficult when you're sitting in a gathering like this and you're all facing forward. Oh my goodness.
Sorry, it's a bit over.
It's alright, just while you're hugging, if anybody would want prayer this morning, particularly out of the prophetic, it's come through Chris, through Ian, through others, there are people here praying with you, in the name of Chris, Bob and Maureen, anyone would just stand with you, then why not take advantage of the opportunity. And don't forget to sign up for prayer.